Hello and welcome to Counterspin Media. I am William Bissett, and today I interviewed an 80-year-old academic who has revealed horrific details from within Pfizer's data. It is no wonder that Pfizer attempted to but failed to suppress this information. Now, I've worked with Philip Tomlinson for many years, and he's been very successful in court cases, being represented as an academic mathematician, including computer technology. So I guess what you could say, he is a trusted authority. Now, if anyone was on the fence about vaccines or boosters, or if anyone was pro-vaccine and pro-boosters, this is the video for you.
Do you know of anyone with Jabber's remorse, adverse reactions, or shedding? The Brylin Functional Medicine Centers also address the underlying root cause of disease for people of all ages. Use the links below for personalized and group bookings.
Well, Philip, thank you very much for talking with me. Now, you've been doing some deep analysis on the Pfizer data. So what angle have you come up with?
I had a look at the Pfizer data because it interested me to check up on what exactly happened about 12 months ago in the first 90 days of the rollout. And apparently there were 42,000 odd adverse reactions, of which 20,000 were serious. And the first thing I looked at with the data is the nature of the data. And when I say the nature of the data, I used to lecture in data organisation and control, and so I wanted to inspect the data as to how it was put together and what sort of format it was laid out in and how things were discussed, because the way you collect data depends on what you can do with the data. And in this particular case, the data was collected in a way where it was impossible to draw what I would call the right kind of conclusions with the exact frame of mind that one would like. So let's be a bit more direct about explaining that. Normally when you collect data, there's a sort of a manner in which the data is collected. I'll give you an example with the Remington shaver that I had that needed, if you like, replacement. I took it to the retailer because that was what I was told to do. The retailer asked me specific questions because that's what the retailer had been told to do. I answered questions correctly and honestly and signed papers to say that I had given the correct information to the retailer. And I was given a new shaver and a new guarantee period, which was all correct, and I was very happy with it. So the data was collected because I had been told that I was to go directly to the retailer and I was to take the shaver with me and I was to answer the questions that I was asked. So it was all, if you like, a formal procedure, well organised, and I was very happy with the way it was done. Now the question is, with the Pfizer data, how did they organise their feedback and how did they get their data that they collected? Well, I went through the papers and I couldn't find anything which said there was any record of who was to collect the data, when it was to be sent in, where it was to be sent in, how it was to be organised. There was no mention of anything in those four ways. So therefore, where did the data come from if it wasn't organised? Well, the answer is that the data was not collected at all. It was actually sent, not collected. It wasn't, if you like, by invitation from Pfizer that that data arrived. It was by people alarmed at the 20,000 serious injuries and the 1,200 who died. And so therefore we have, if you like, a collection of data that was uninvited, so to speak. As far as I know, and I have to say as far as I know, because I couldn't find any ground in the information that I looked at that suggested that there was any organisation behind the obtaining of the data. Now that's a serious incrimination for a start, before we even go any further. We're only getting, of course, the reporting proportion, not the incidence rate. And there's a difference. The reporting proportion It's the number of people that are actually agitated about the terrible adverse reactions. The incidence rate includes all those who haven't reported the problems that they've struck. So on that basis, we can simply say that we're only getting a fraction of the number that were really affected, because that was the number that was actually reported, because there's no other record on hand. What does that mean? Well, the Harvard research on the reporting of vaccination injury and death would suggest that only 1% of the actual cases are reported. Now, I'm not saying in this case only 1% were reported, but what I am saying is that if Harvard's research is of any value at all, that we've only got a smattering of the real truth behind what really happened by estimation. And that's a very serious incrimination, because there was no compulsory feedback, which there ought to have been on something as serious as this. And therefore, I believe that we can question how this doesn't make sense. Now, they were always obliged in an experiment like this to use what we call the label use of the actual product. But they were using what we call off-label use, meaning children less than 12. What we can say in the off-label use is that there was an age group there that ought not to have been there, I believe. So, and I'm talking about children under 12. And I believe they received an adult dose. So I can't actually prove that, but the thought is that that appears to be the case. Whether it is or not, we can't be sure. Apparently, in the children under 12, the median age was 4 years, which is a significantly low age for that to be done. And I don't think most people realise that that was being done at that stage, which is quite a distressing discovery. There were 300 cases there where there was no gender recorded at all, which indicates that Pfizer was not looking back and finding out data about the adverse events. Now, when I had my shaver taken to the retailer found out about the injury that the machine had suffered. And I had to explain how it had happened, what happened, what I'd done, what I hadn't done, and so on. And therefore, every piece of data, if you like, was counter-checked in my complaint to the retailer. And it was counter-checked directly at that time on the spot. Now, as I understand it, the data that Pfizer was given, to the best of my knowledge, was not counter-checked by Pfizer. There's no indication in the data of anything they did about the data at all. I would have thought there would have been some prohibition put out on further use of the data where an adverse reaction had happened. But I couldn't find anything in the adverse reaction data at all. In fact, there was a lot of things I couldn't find about it. The numbers didn't seem to stack up. So when I said the numbers wouldn't stack up, I'm a natural numbers person. So I began to dig and to try and find out why things couldn't make sense. And I couldn't get them to make sense. The data didn't make sense. So I investigated what Dr. Chris Martinson, who used to work for Pfizer, said about the data himself. And his words were, I couldn't make sense of it. So I don't believe that it's my mental utensil that's malfunctioning. I believe that the data just did not stack up. It was simply the list of complaints that had come in, as it were, thrown into a circular filing cabinet under the table. And I just felt that it was hidden data as well, which was on the worldwide safety injunction not to be given to other people so that they could be safe, supposedly by the Worldwide Safety Organization. It raises serious questions about the whole thing. So the data, if you like, in my books was something like what you might get from a 14-year-old schoolboy slapping up a bit of homework ready for the next day. It was not what I would call organized data. It was not data that had been sifted, sorted, processed, and in any way refined to be able to make conclusions. In other words, another way of putting it was just something that had to be done, and it was done in the same way that a 14-year-old would slap up a bit of homework and get a tick in the margin and move on to another more enjoyable activity. So my question about Pfizer is very simple. They claim that their vaccine is 90% efficient. The Lancet claims it's 1% efficient. Now, the discrepancy, which is 89%, is a tremendous discrepancy. Somebody's lying. And I believe that if you're going to trust Pfizer, you're going to trust what I would call a company with a big question mark raised over the way they organise their information. The very fact that this was hidden, and the very fact that only the Freedom of Information Act in America forced the judge to force the release of the data, in itself is another, if you like, indicator of where that data places us. So would I trust Pfizer? No. Would I have good reason for saying I cannot trust Pfizer? Yes, most definitely. I'm not saying that all the information that I've got is absolutely guaranteed and absolutely accurate, because you have to read in between the lines of things that are not actually said. But one thing I can say, that there was one page in that data that had no numbers on it at all, and a deduction was made from it. Now, I don't know how you can put quantified data in front of somebody without any quantities in it, and I don't know how you can use data without any quantities to make a deduction, but that's what they did. So I'm sort of surprised that that happened. The very fact that page one says that the data was not to be disclosed, not to be reproduced, not to be distributed, not to be disseminated outside Pfizer, and those are the sorts of words that were used. It was repeatedly said in that way, that this total ban on the data meant that people could not find out how dangerous this Pfizer vaccine actually was. So I believe myself that while I'm perhaps being quite definite about it, that I've got good reason to be definite about it. This is an absolute terrible thing. The fact that there were 1,200 deaths in that period of time alone, and Pfizer knew about it and continued to pump out the product and continued to get people to respond, to buy the product and use it, as a criminal event in my mind. Absolutely criminal. They knew what they were doing. They knew they'd had these reactions. They knew they were adverse. They knew that approximately 50% proportion of them were serious, and they did not stop the jabbing. You would at least think, with those that had had these serious adverse reactions, that they would have had a communication from Pfizer and advised not to take any more jabs or boosters. As far as I know, there's no record on the actual information that I obtained of anything that like that being done. Now, if it has been done and I'm reading this incorrectly, then I apologise, but I believe that you can only read into the actual data what you're given, and if it isn't there, you can make the assumption that it isn't there. And so my definite decision on Pfizer is that they are either lying or a whole lot of other people are lying instead. And it's one way or the other, and it's just a matter of who do you trust.
In the first 24 hours of administering the Pfizer vaccine, what concerns did you have within the first 24 hours?
It's a very good thing that you could mention that, because you've obviously looked into this data a wee bit yourself, and I think that's rather encouraging. But the data shows that the deaths occurred between 24 hours and 21 days. But the most important part of the information that I got out of that was that the median for those deaths was less than 24 hours. So that means that half the deaths, that's about 600 plus, right, because there's just over 1,200 who died, that means that there were 600 plus who died within 24 hours of getting the vaccine. Now, you could say, does that mean that the vaccine caused their deaths? We can't say that, but what we can say is we're not stupid when we read the data, and we can work out what we can assume is a reasonable deduction. So what I'm saying is that I believe that those 600 deaths were within that period of time caused by the Pfizer vaccine. I might be wrong, of course, in my belief of that, but I'm not altogether stupid. And I believe that the Pfizer company should have found out from all the information that was reported to them, they should have found out the conditions that prevailed with the particular person who was making the complaint or the particular person who had died. Was this person already extremely ill and ready to die? Or was this person in good health? That information should have been collected and collated systematically by Pfizer. It wasn't done. And I believe myself that the reason it wasn't done can be deduced from the absence of that information in those pages of the cumulative analysis of the post-authorization safety data. Because in actual fact, if that's what it says it is, then that's what it should be. I have had quite a bit of work handling data. I've even designed a database system at one point and even wrote it myself and did the programming for it. I've had experience with handling data. I've lectured on data organization and control, as I mentioned a minute ago. I believe that it's reasonable to look for these, what you call benchmarks on the data. And I didn't find them. Didn't find them at all. I think it's really an extremely serious situation, and I don't think most people are aware of it.
The unusual thing is that in the medical industry, when it comes to doing trials, these are airtight trials normally that happens. And so obviously this is not what you've experienced, because you've done actually data on other medications as well, haven't you?
I've worked for an internationally recognised scientist in doing data analysis for him. And my reason for doing that was that he was offered a PhD provided he changed his conclusions to the exact opposite thing that he got. And an overseas university offered this. And we sat round the fire at my place and he told me, he said, I could have had a PhD. But he said, I told them they could put that in their pipe and smoke it. And the reason was he was an honest man, and that's why I was working with him on the data that I was actually involved in. So what I'm looking at here is I'm not looking at this from the viewpoint of a casual observer. I'm looking at it as someone who has had experience with data. I'm a mathematician anyway, so therefore I, if you like, can feel I can speak authoritatively on the absence of data in this particular documentation. Now, it is not what the data is that really concerns me, it's what it isn't. It's what's missing from the actual material. Now, I gather that Pfizer were officially asked to provide more data because there were important missing information components. And the word important missing information are the exact three words which were used in the claim that Pfizer was not handling their data properly. Now, if this is the case, then I feel myself that we have reasonable ground to say that this is more than a casual comment that I'm making. I'm making a comment that's based on what I believe is an exceptionally serious, what you might call white lie. Because if the data is not, if you like, up to date and complete, then obviously it's not the proper data. And I believe that the average person is not aware of it. Now, we're told that this vaccine, as it's so-called, right, is completely safe and that it's been thoroughly tested and everybody's, if you like, reassured. I'm not reassured at all. I'm not reassured about anything. I think it's absolutely dreadful what we're looking at here. And I think it's time that the public became aware of the fact that this reassurance that we've been given is not based on what I would call concrete, clear-cut analysis. So what I've done is I've actually looked at this data. I've assessed it. I've, gone into the detail of what has been presented. And it's not up to speed. Now, if one of the Pfizer employees himself, I'm talking about Dr. Madison, said, I can make no sense of it, right? And he himself worked with the company for years, right? Well, surely I've got a right to say that what I'm saying is an honest, straightforward comment in my own right, looking at the data as it stands at face value. And I believe myself that we have now the population of New Zealand being coerced by the Prime Minister and further down in the ranks that follow to take this data at face value and add to it the glorious title of being completely safe and indicating complete safety. And it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Why was this information deliberately hidden 12 months ago? It could have been revealed. It could have been revealed as the data came to hand. But the media was bought out, as it were, and they did not reveal it. So what I'm saying is that my own analysis of what has been provided by Pfizer under duress, they were providing that data by pressure from the courts. They had to do it. Okay. I believe that what I'm saying is that I've got a right to be critical about it. And that's what I've done. And I'm doing this because people are trusting Pfizer. They're trusting a company that you obviously cannot trust. And so if you're risking your life, is it any wonder that we've got more deaths on hand? Now, it is so bad that I believe the public have been hoodwinked. And they've been told of a safety level that just does not exist at all. And the whole thing is a load of nonsense. And I'm prepared to say the whole thing is a load of nonsense. And fortunately now, 10 countries in the world have abandoned the lot. And if that's the beginning of the 195 countries that we've got in total, then it's a good indication. It's approximately a 5%, if you like, indicator on the list. It's time for people to wake up and stop taking their boosters and to pull out of the game. It's not a safe game. So that's my story.
Perhaps Pfizer didn't have the budget to do proper data analysis.
No, I'm sure they are very poor because yes. In actual fact, they're finding it difficult to sell their product. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm sure they've got a minimum of 30 billion reasons to produce this vaccine.
There's no question about it being, if you like, a budget consideration, but not because of poverty. And I think that we would all agree that the profit that they've made on this thing is at the expense of the, shall we say, procedures they should have followed.
How the New Zealand government are responding to this doesn't make sense either. You know, you're about facts and figures, and I suppose, having theories why things are happening might not be down your alley, but, you know, why do you think that the evidence is so clear that this is a dangerous genetic modification drug, yet Jacinda Bloomfield and their gods, so to speak, are like a bulldozer that's just not stopping with us? Why do you think that is?
Well, it's a very interesting question because I believe it goes back to this issue of, was the vaccine designed for COVID-19? And the answer is, I don't believe it's that way around at all. I believe COVID-19 was designed for the vaccine. Now, the vaccine was, in the minds of Bill Gates, a means of depopulating the world. Now, depopulation means either preventing births or killing people off, one or the other. Or it means cutting the length of life down or something like that. It doesn't take too much brain power to work out what depopulation means. The COVID-19 was patent numbered, I don't know, something like about 7 years ago, maybe more. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure of the date, but I did get the patent number and I did check up on the information of about its availability. And I believe that the The question here is that the vaccine was designed and we obviously needed an excuse to use it. And so the excuse to use the vaccine to get the depopulation that was wanted in the first place, which was the original intention that Gates was loud enough to say was what was in his mind, meant that they had to have this COVID-19, if you like, designed for the vaccine. They claim that the vaccine was done under emergency conditions, of course, because that's a good way of putting things forward. And I can't say that I've got any what I call concrete data to be able to combat that. But I'm not altogether stupid that if you've got a patented bioweapon, then surely if you've got a patented bioweapon and it's used as a bioweapon, it's not difficult to see what's going on in what we now have as World War III. And I believe it's time people woke up to find out what's going on. So that's my, if you like, ground of looking at the Pfizer data. Yes.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. That was really informative, very powerful, and really appreciate your time. Thank you very much, Philip. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Now, you've seen my face a few times on Counterspin, and maybe I might be here for a little bit longer. So I'd appreciate your comments and your feedback. Don't forget to subscribe. And also remember that Counterspin is reliant on your donations to keep the truth flowing to you. Hey, it was a real pleasure delivering this interview for you, and we'll see you next week.
You can find Counterspin, New Zealand's media revolution, at counterspinmedia.com. And now, on the InfoWars Network, at band.video.